We're in a new series in 1 Corinthians over the next few weeks. What happens when someone becomes a Christian? What does it mean for their day-to-day life? What does it mean for the future? Well, come along with us and see how Paul answers that question over the next few weeks. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 25. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you, unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else, who is now put in the position of an inquirer, say Amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You're giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Tongues, prophecy. There are a lot of opinions on what those two things are. And that is what this chapter gets used to talk about most of the time. This is the chapter where that discussion, that question comes from. Now this evening we're going to explore the text and see what it has to say. And we're going to do the same next Sunday evening, God willing. And once we're done with chapter 14, we'll then have a bit of time for Q&A and try and get some clarity here. It is worth saying, I am not going to explicitly define what these two things are until the end of the chapter. Now, I'm aware there are different views in this room, but I think if we're sensitive to the text, we will see it does define for us as we go. And Paul's aim in this chapter is, in fact, not to define what these are. We'll see shortly what he is doing and why that's more important. But I do want to point something out to us all. See, whatever your view is of these two spiritual gifts this evening, the point that Paul makes in this chapter is still true. The point Paul is making here applies whatever you think they are. And the point that Paul is making can be summarised in a question. Why are you here? Why do you attend church? I wonder how you'd answer that question. But this evening, the answer to tongues or prophecy is actually connected to the answer, why are you here? What are you seeking to get out of church? Now, last week we were in chapter 13, and chapter 13 sits between chapters 12 and 14. That's the spiritual gifts of maths there for you. But as with the rest of this letter, Paul structures his points around what is key to the discussion. And the idea that is important, really important here, in fact, we'll see that in a moment, verse 1, is the idea of love. Love undergirds everything a Christian should do. Love for God should be the driver of what a church does as it gathers together. Love for the body. So, tongues or prophecy. Well, as we think about those two gifts, the first thing we need to notice is that they are both speech gifts. They are both word gifts. Now, throughout this chapter, speech is important. Just look at verse 5. Verse 5, Paul says that he would love it if everyone spoke. More than that, throughout this whole letter, speech has been important. Right from the very first page, Paul has been talking about the message of the cross, the call to join the fellowship of the Son. So why is speech important? What does speech do? Well, speech brings people to God. 1 Corinthians has been saying again and again, we are on mission. We are to be holy. We have a job to do. The world out there needs to know about the one true God. And we need to hear about it too in here. We should be building one another up. And our speech is how that happens. So the first thing to see this evening is that we should desire speech that builds up. That's verses 1 to 5. Desire speech that builds up. Let me read verse 1 of our passage again. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, as we come to think about this, Paul wants us to remember where we've been. Do you see that? Follow the way of love. Love, defined by chapter 13, is other person focused. Love that is patient, love that is kind, love that never fails. Everything Paul's just said in chapter 13 continues here. And verse 1 again, following the way of love should lead us to eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. You see, we know that love and the gifts of the Spirit are intricately connected because Paul finished chapter 12 talking about the gifts. And he starts chapter 14 talking about the gifts, eagerly desiring gifts on both sides, with love at the heart of the matter in chapter 13. But don't just desire any gift, Paul says. Desire especially prophecy. In the discussion of tongues versus prophecy, Paul says, desire prophecy. Why? Well, verse 2 tells us. Because anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. In the concept of loving one another, tongues is not aimed at other people. God knows what people are saying, but other people don't. But notice the end of verse 2. They do utter mysteries. That's important to see here. That phrase doesn't mean something that's unknown. Paul has used this phrase already in the previous chapter. A mystery, biblically speaking, is revelation. It's something that was previously hidden, but has now been revealed. Particularly when Paul uses the phrase mystery, he's referring to the gospel. He's referring to the cross as mystery. So can you see there? There is good content in tongues, but it gets lost in translation. No one understands. Only God knows. On the other hand, verse 3, prophecy speaks to people. It communicates to others. It strengthens, encourages, comforts. It builds up other people. You see the contrast there? The contrast happens again, verse 4. Tongue speakers edify or build up themselves, whilst prophecy speakers edify or build up the church. Now, if you can remember back to chapter 12 a couple of weeks back, we were given more information on the idea of spiritual gifts. What did Paul say? Spiritual gifts were given for the common good. And that leaves me wondering whether we ought to be reading verse 4 in a positive sense. See, I'm not convinced that Paul wants us to think at that point, great, something for just me. Instead, the thrust of this passage has always been what is good for everyone else. And prophecy wins that hands down each time. In fact, Paul can't be clearer, can he? Verse 5. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Paul would love everyone to speak. That is our job whilst we wait for Jesus' return. We are on mission. But the one who prophesies is greater. Why? Because of love. Because it builds up others. Did you notice, though, that Paul's not completely down on tongues? This helps us to nuance what he's saying. Paul says, end of verse 5, if someone interprets a tongue, then it becomes prophecy. It becomes like prophecy. Why? It's important for defining what the two are. Because that mystery has been revealed to other people. Because it now works to build up other people. So Paul's point here is desire, love, desire, speech that builds up. I mean, that applies to every spiritual gift there is. They are all for the common good, Paul said. They are all for the body. They are all for building up the temple. So desire those. And that means that building up requires understandable words. So the majority of what Paul says here, verses 6 to 19, are about this. Building up requires understandable words. Now, I wonder if you ever heard the origin of the phrase hocus pocus. That's taken from our weekend away quiz, if you're wondering what that's about. The phrase hocus pocus comes from the Latin phrase hoc est corpus meum. There's some tongues for you tonight. Hoc est corpus meum, or this is my body for the rest of us. Now, in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church would say those words as they led the Lord's Supper. But for many reasons, the people in attendance had no idea what was going on. So what did they hear? Well, they heard the phrase hocus pocus. And they associated it with some kind of magic that happens in the church. This thing that's bread has suddenly become Jesus. Magic. You see there, the people in the church were not built up. They couldn't understand. They were made to be on the outside. Even the way they face does that too. When Paul came to Corinth, imagine if he came and spoke in a way the Corinthians couldn't understand. What would have happened to Paul's mission? What would have happened to Christ Church Corinth? I reckon it wouldn't have existed. No one could have understood Paul's gospel message. No one could have understood what Paul was proclaiming. The message of the cross would have been lost to Babel. It'd be a bit like this. Let's play a game this evening, shall we? Let's play Name That Tune. You ready? Any ideas? It's not a speaking clock. Without a tune, it's hopeless, isn't it? A lifeless instrument, Paul says, without breath, fails in its task if you cannot understand what the tune is. Or imagine we were in the army, waiting for the trumpet to go off to announce the battle is about to begin. The bugler stands up on the front line and they go, who was that? Well, like that, have a look at verse 9. Paul says, so it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking into the air. The goal of building up, the task of pointing people to the one true God, falls apart. Our goal of being holy, that is to be on mission whilst we wait for Jesus' return, fails if that's the case. In fact, speaking a foreign language, speaking something that someone else cannot understand, Paul says, verse 11, it creates outsiders. If you've ever been overseas, perhaps you know the feeling. as everyone around you is speaking and laughing and having a great time, and you have absolutely no idea what's going on. You're an outsider, aren't you? That's what Paul's saying in verse 11. If someone cannot grasp what you're saying, then it's as if you're a foreigner to them and they're a foreigner to you. The word there is more literally barbarian. It separates people. I mean, that can't be the goal of the gospel message, can it? Rather than bringing people in, it does the opposite. It leaves them out. And so the truly spiritual person should be eager for the gifts of the Spirit, not in order to show off, not in order to build themselves up, but for the sake of building up the body. The truly spiritual person should be eager, verse 12, to excel in those things that build up the church. Do we believe that? You see, it's not uncommon to find people who think church is about themselves and God, vertical only. And anyone who gets in the way of that is an issue. Those pesky kids, that out-of-tune musician. That's not what church is it? That's not why we should be in church. Church should be a place where we build each other up. A place where we grow together into the temple of God. So why do you come to church? Is it to build others up? Or is it to get something for yourself? You see how it connects tongues and prophecy? That is why, verse 13, someone who speaks in a tongue should pray someone would interpret for them. Why? So that others can be built up. Otherwise, they're just a foreigner to the rest of us. The person who prays in a tongue should engage their mind for the sake of building others up. Have a look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, sometimes this verse is taken to mean that unthoughtful speech is more spiritual. I think that totally misunderstands what Paul is saying here. Remember what a truly spiritual person is. A truly spiritual person builds up others. They desire to love others. Praying in a tongue here does not engage the mind. To take something and relate it to someone else takes thought, takes a brain, takes effort, I promise. You see, that's the case. Just have a look at the next few verses. Paul says, therefore, he desires to pray with his spirit and his understanding. He wants to sing with his spirit and with his understanding. Why? Because verse 16, otherwise, when you're praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving? Since they do not know what you're saying. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. No one else is built up. The person who can't join in, do you see, they're in the position of an inquirer. Or more literally, they're in the position of an outsider. See, doing that puts people on the outside. In fact, that word there is literally the word we get idiot from. Because they cannot know. They cannot understand. They cannot join in. They are excluded. They are outsiders. Instead, verse 19, it is better, Paul says, to speak 5 words with your mind for the sake of others than speak 10,000 in a tongue. I mean, that's a high ratio, isn't it? 5 to 10,000. It might even be higher, since 10,000 is how Paul would say or convey our idea of infinite. It is better to speak to instruct others, to build up others, than it is to speak in a tongue. Building up others requires understandable words. Finally, the final thing we're going to see this evening is mission requires understandable words too. That is our final point this evening. Mission requires understandable words too. Look at verses 20 to 25. You see there, Paul calls the Corinthians to grow up. Do you remember chapter 13? Paul talked about his own experience about growing up. He was once a child and then he grew up. Here he relates it to them. You might think I missed this out on purpose. Did you spot? Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you do. Verse 18. But Paul seeks to build others up. Paul says he thinks maturely. And so he calls the Corinthians to follow his example, not to seek evil, but instead to be mature, to be others-focused rather than self-focused. Because, and now this is a strong point from Paul, tongues don't have a good history. Verse 21, he quotes Isaiah 28. Let me read that verse for us, verse 21. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Isaiah 28, God has spoken, he has spoken clearly, and Isaiah has prophesied, it's the phrase used, prophesied that Israel is going to go into exile. Plain, simple message, the Assyrians are coming. Yet Israel rejects God's word as too babyish. They reject it, it's too simple. In fact, they act like babies, is the description. So God says those words in verse 21, tongues are the sign of judgment. As the Assyrians come into the land with their Assyrian tongues, Israel is going to know that God has judged them. As they speak Assyrian among them and have no idea what they're saying, they're going to head into exile. So Paul says, why would you want your church meeting to resemble that? See what he's saying? Verse 22, tongues are not for believers, but for unbelievers. In Israel, tongues were the sign that Assyria had breached their walls, were in among them, and we're going to take them away. On the other hand, prophecy is a sign for believers. Prophecy shows you've been listening. In Isaiah, you are listening to God's word and you're speaking those words to others. And that's shown when people come into church. Remember, church is on mission, bringing people to know the one true God. If an unbeliever walks into a gathering, what are they going to see? What are they going to understand? Well, verse 23, if the church is full of tongues and an outsider comes in, well, they leave thinking they're all out of their minds. But if they come in whilst the church is prophesying, well, they might be saved. Verse 25, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Those five final words there are important. God is really among you. They're the same words you get in Isaiah 45, where God is speaking about how he's going to take his gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The opposite of Isaiah 28, quoted earlier. Not going into exile anymore, coming back and bringing others with them. It's through the witnesses, the speaking witnesses, as they speak God's word. It's through the servant who makes servants, as they speak God's word, that others come in. This is the goal of true worship. This is the big point of what Paul's been saying here. Bringing people to know the one true God. This is the goal. This is salvation. To the ends of the earth. So tongues and prophecy. When we get some description here about what they are, hopefully we're starting to think in our minds what might be going on here. There is more to come, don't worry, and a Q&A to follow that. But this evening, whatever we are talking about, whatever you think we're talking about, the question has to be, what sort of speech are you going for? Why do you come to church? If you're in it for yourself, Paul says, well, think again. A believer should be guided by love. A believer should be seeking to build up others. A believer should, Paul says, to do that, eagerly desire to prophesy. Now, when I mentioned to a few people, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 14 this evening, they said, well, do you do that stuff at Christchurch Hemel? I think if we're talking about speech that builds up, well, the answer has to be yes, doesn't it? That is why we have tea and coffee before church. To give opportunities for building up speech. That's why we meet midweek, growth groups, women's group, in order to think about and speak about the Bible together. You see, to desire to prophesy here means we come to church, we come to those events, asking God, please give me the words to say that will build up others in church. In fact, here's what normally gets missed. Paul has been modelling that for us throughout this whole letter. Paul is calling the Corinthians to imitate him, which means they imitate his word ministry. They call people into the fellowship of the Son. They declare, they prophesy the message of the cross to others around them. They prophesy like Paul has here. Speaking words that build up. Words controlled by love. And here, that means prophecy over tongues every time. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Any questions can come to podcast email podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.